Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We worship you. We trust you. And we love you. Thank you for blessing us with your presence. For your Son told us whenever two or more are gathered that you are in our midst. So thank you for being here. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks so that you and you alone are being glorified. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin and the cleansing from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. Please bless everyone on our prayer list, all the prayer requests that are being put in the room, especially those that are in need of salvation as well as in need of physical healings as well. And thank you for blessing the work and the workers. There are many of them out there, Father, and thank you for them. Those are answered to prayers, those people. But please keep them safe. Please keep a hedge of angels around us as individuals and as your Son's bride. And thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your precious Son, who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. We are on question number 28. I want to welcome John B. And that POGM2 that was in the room earlier, I was just trying a theory, and obviously it didn't work. It wouldn't work. Kept falling out, so it wasn't anybody if you try to contact them. But we're on question number 28. If you want to read along, if you're new, scroll down underneath the chat room, and you'll see it. The question is our eternal life really at stake if we choose to remain within any church of Babylon? And the answer is Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 6 and verse 45. Thank you, Brother Gorin, for putting it in the room. Verse 6 says, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. I guess we can just end it there, right? But it goes on. Be not cut off in her iniquity. Again, you can end it there because that answers the question. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. And then verse 45 says, my people, go ye out of the midst of her and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. And this is what amazes me, because I know a lot of people that are in apostate churches, and it runs the gamut. Every denomination out there actually are in apostasy, except for, of course, the obedient remnant, be they SDR or any other name that they're using out there that we haven't met yet. And the reason I say that is because of the fact that they all admit they're in apostasy, so they don't really hide it. But it's amazing to me that, as I just finished sharing with a subscriber to my videos who insists on staying in the SDA church, that, you know, I get this at the next church service, you know, the church study, if you will. I get this question because this, I had to deal with this last week in YouTube, in other words. And we actually doing this now, but I will no doubt share these verses with him, as he is a zealous Christian. He is very zealous, who wants to do the right thing, but just a little bit confused about the state of the church because of the wolves on the pulpits that keep saying, stay in sin, stay in apostasy. I mean, the Vatican has been doing that since day one. And they even went so far as to try and, they actually did kill quite a few people when Martin Luther was calling them out. And then those that refused to put down their Bibles were also, you know, tortured and killed. But many in the SDA church assume because their name was given unto them by God that they must stay in the church no matter how apostatized it becomes. But how well did that work out for the Jews who were given the exact same blessing of a name, Israel, that all the obedient Christians today claim as their own? Because according to Scripture, biblical jurisprudence and replacement theology, yes, it's an actual fact. It's in Old Testament prophetic statements, and it's in New Testament confirmations, as well as from the lips of Jesus Christ himself in more than one place, in regards to the fact that we, the obedient Christians, are considered Israel. And this is why reading our Bibles daily is so very important to us. I mean, you know, like the Roman Catholic Church, who for centuries conditioned their flock to stop reading the Bibles so as to rely 100% upon the prelates of Rome. Well, the SDAs, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, they all do the exact same thing now. And many of them within the, I mean, like even the ones that are listening on the radio right now, most of us already know what I mean here in regards to this. But for those that don't, what I mean is how many in the Seventh-day Remnant Church used to be SDA or used to be Baptist or used to be Catholic? A large portion. And how many of us that used to be SDA were shunned and even disfellowshipped for bringing scriptural truths to the attention of the pastors? See, that right there is enough evidence. I mean, especially if the pastor gets angry, because there's these different methods in regards to how they respond to being corrected. Spirit of Prophecy actually goes into detail as to what they'll do. And they did all that. You know, everything from, you know, pulling on the heartstrings to, I mean, I saw it in my own family growing up. And then when I left the Catholic Church, because there were some siblings, well, actually it was a brother-in-law that left the church before I did. And I saw how, you know, there was a lovey-dovey thing to try to pull them back in. And when that didn't work, the insulting thing and making fun of them thing to pull them back in, that didn't work. And then just downright hatefulness and anger, well, that worked. And they got most of them to go back in. And they tried all that on me and Fran, too, you know, when we left. And so they're going to do that in every denomination. It's not just SDAs. I mean, you know, I'm just saying. But I can share some horror stories with you from some of our church members that would shock some people, but I won't, because we all know why this happens. I mean, it's just like what I saw in the Catholic Church, only worse. And the reason I say worse is because the pastor of the Catholic Church I was a member of in my youth just told me to quit reading the Bible. He didn't get all angry and upset and demand I obey him or leave. He could care less, and he just assumed I would do as he commanded, because many Catholics do, in fact, worship their pastors, as I did. I trusted this man with my life, and I did acts of worship in his direction. But the reality is, the minute he said what he did, I lost all trust in him and his so-called wisdom. But the Seventh-day Adventist people that open their Bibles and do their best to alert the pastors are treated with bold hatred most of the time and disfellowshipped quickly, because the Jesuits masquerading as SDA pastors know how dangerous a Bible-reading Seventh-day Adventist can be, and so they get them out of the church as fast as they possibly can. But they should have left. In regards to what Jeremiah is saying here, I mean, that's the thing that gets me. I mean, the nice thing here, though, if you look at it, is how they'll eventually leave anyway. Sometimes you got to be disfellowshipped to actually catch the hint. But some will stay in and try to stealthily share their faith. But that's not what the Bible says to do. You can't do that, because how can you sit in a pew and say you got to get out of this church? Well, then what are you sitting there for? They're just going to look at you as having just another excuse as to why they stay as well. I mean, Rome just assumes, like when they did that with me, they just assumed that because most in their church are conditioned well enough over the years that you rarely, if ever, hear of a Catholic being excommunicated. And it's usually only for political reasons, like they did with that that one guy that married, I think it was Reverend Moon or something like that. This was in the 80s, 70s or 80s. Where he married a woman, and they were literally, it was in the media, on the news and everything, they were going to excommunicate the guy unless he divorced her. Kind of reminds me of the days of Caesar, when a lot of the Caesars, the one guy that came in before Caesar, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was forcing people to divorce their wives. You could see the demon of so-called celibacy back then. And this is why all the Catholic priests claim to be celibate. They're just all homosexuals, though. It's just a case of, you know, they're already been proven. But again, like I say, you rarely see a Catholic being excommunicated. But the Jesuits in the SDA Church have only recently taken over, and so they will quickly remove any Bible-trusting SDA the moment they hear about them sharing real truths within their midst. I mean, they jump on it real quick now, because they know they don't have a lot of time to work. I mean, that fact alone should make those still in the church realize how dangerous it is just to stay there without even reading Jeremiah 51. And so if anyone hearing me now doesn't think what I'm saying is true, do a quick study on apostasy as well as some research behind the prophesied 501c3 when you get, you know, finished, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's. I challenge you to bring it to your pastor, in fact. One of two things are going to happen when you do this. Because this is every email and phone call I've ever gotten. There's always two things that will happen. One of two things. Number one, if your church, if your local church has yet to be infiltrated and compromised, your pastor may that very day leave the General Conference leadership and start an independent Seventh-day Adventist church under a new name so as to prevent being sued by the SDA church, or he'll kick you out of that church as fast as he can. Because if he does that, he's already been infiltrated. I mean, just look at the logos. I'm thinking of actually doing a video about this, about the church logos. They all have 666 in them now, from Joel Osteen to the SDA church. There's the 666s and all the logos, which is a loyal declaration unto Rome. Okay, this one's handled. Let's go to the next. And one more thing. Some pastors may act as if what you said moved them in a spiritual manner so as to keep you in the church. But if you don't make serious movements to leave the corporate body within 24 to 48 hours, let's say, then you know he lied. Like if he doesn't make any serious movements, then you know he lied and he has no plans on leaving. I mean, if it cut him that deep, like he was claiming, then why is he there next Sabbath? In any event, as prophesied, the SDA church is no longer a safe place to be. And yes, it was prophesied, Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, or Revelation 12, 17. I mean, it speaks of the remnant of the sea being the ones that angered the devil. I mean, and he makes war with them. You know, he's just a little upset at the woman, the SDA church, but he's making war with us. And so, we, the real remnant people, do the work, and that's why he gets angry and makes war. And so, and yes, I know SDA leaders claim they are the remnant church, but that is both physically, historically, scripturally, and prophetically impossible. They're doing that just to save face. They see the Exodus. They see the people that want to stand on the path of righteousness. They see the people that are really serious about their walks leaving the churches, and they're figuring the only way to get them back in is to start preaching some more fluffy sermons to make them think everything's copacetic, while at the same time declaring themselves the remnant to scare them back into the pew using fabricated biblical jurisprudence, because there is no such thing that says you can be the ninth and 11th hour at the same time. It's just not right. I mean, you can't be the woman and the remnant of her own seat at the same time, any more than you could be the 9th and 11th hour church simultaneously. So it is clear the SDA church has become a sister to fallen Babylon. She's not the whore, as many SDA leaders have been claiming I've been saying. You can look all over my websites, and you'll never find that in there. So they're caught. But the fact of the matter is, she is a sister to fallen Babylon, just as prophecy said all of them would be. And anyone in that church that refuses to see that will take part in the plagues. I mean, see, this is one of the reasons a lot of people are going to die with that had the Holy Spirit. You know, remember the five foolish virgins? I mean, they had some. They wanted to buy more at the wrong time. But you can't buy it either, Simon, Magus, you know. And so they're going to take part in the plagues, just as the loving call out of the church was prophesied in Revelation 18 said they will. No, there's, you know, that's why he says, come out of her, my people. He still loves them enough to tell them, they're his people. Get out. You still got time. But they drag their feet because of business connections or status symbol in the church, whatever. Like if they're a heavy donator or something like that, or they got a loved one in there, or a possible loved one in there, like a possible spouse or whatever. You cannot change the prophetic word because it was penned by the God of the living, who sees the end from the beginning. And so you got to make a final decision, I guess. And so let's go to the next one here. Question number 29 is, what is the promise from God if we choose to obey his command and separate ourselves from Babylon and away from all of the unclean followers of Satan? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Verses 17 and 18 says this, "Wherefore come out from among them." Again, you know how many verses? I lost count. I mean, I do have like five or six of my favorites that I use in regards to telling people you got to come out. Especially, and that's why I always ask them, do you believe your church is in apostasy? And every single solitary person I've ever asked that question has agreed that yes, it is. From SDAs to Catholics, they all admit it. And so, but I, and if I even read them four or five verses from the Bible, it's kind of like they're saying, yeah, well, times have changed. That's when you got to start bringing out Malachi, where it says, "I'm the Lord thy God, I change not." Or even the one where Jesus, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But because times have changed, thanks to Satan manipulating society every chance he gets, people actually think that they can put God on a back burner. It's just so silly. But I don't think this is anything new. I mean, it just looks new because it's happening in our generation, but I'm sure it happened thousands of years ago, too. Somebody can come up and say, well, times have changed. You're old-fashioned. But again, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Again, pretty blunt. You stay in the church, I won't receive you. You come out, I will receive you. No gray areas there. And then going on, it says, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I mean, it boggles my mind to this day when I see people sitting in an admitted apostate church claiming that they are in the Lord's will. I mean, they assume that there is a Bible verse that says they must stay in apostasy to gain heaven, when not only is there no such Bible passage, there are many, many verses that say the exact opposite, like the one I just read. I mean, the only way a person can say it's God's will for them to stay in apostasy is if that person has no longer decided to follow Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot out there that claim they follow him, you know, like the Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 types. And so people will get very offended if you tell them they're not following Christ, they're not being obedient. This is why a lot of those pastors who are already infiltrated will get very upset at you if you bring them scripture to show them what they're doing is wrong. Oh, they'll get very upset because you're telling them they're not a Christian, even though you're not saying those words, because they know they're being convicted. They know it's the same reason they were chewing on Stephen before they stoned him. They knew what he said exposed them. They knew what, you know, they were doing wrong. It's just like when Jesus was writing down all their sins in the dust, and they dropped all those rocks before stoning that woman. They knew that he knew what they're doing. You know, they weren't without sin. And so, as I also prophesy, they decided, you know, the people that stay in these churches, they decide to worship the creature or pastor over and above the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I mean, they think because they can see the pastor with their eyes, they can trust him in as many years of study as the final word regarding leaving an apostate church, because we all know that from the Catholic priest to the SDA pastor, they all say you must stay with the church in the exact same way the Pharisees of old said you must stay in the synagogues 2,000 years ago. Back then, many people decided to trust the Jewish leaders, or creatures, over and above the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator himself, as he walked among them as the prophesied Messiah. And how well did that work out for them? They're all in Christless graves right now, and have been there for 2,000 years. And they will get up 1,000 years from now, or they'll get up at the eastern sky splitting if, in fact, they were instrumental in killing Christians, because we know what that prophecy means, too. And since that type of temptation works so well on the Jews of old, Satan obviously decided to use the exact same lie to keep people in the apostate churches of today, even though we have biblical, prophetic, and historic proof that all of them have refused to allow Jesus into their church or anywhere near the pulpits in the exact same way the Pharisees of old did. Now, they'll give them lip service, like Jesus warns. They'll do like Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 prophesied they'll do. They're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it. They're going to preach it the way they want to preach it. They're going to walk the way they want to walk, but they're going to demand you call them Christians, so just to take away their shames, or their shame. I mean, the study goes on to say this. When do we become the actual sons or daughters of God? It is not until after we have showed our obedience to God by separating ourselves out of all unclean groups or churches of Babylon. Once we have broken all fellowship communion and membership with any disobedient church of Babylon, have then connected ourselves fully with Jesus Christ, to be his chaste virgin, you know, not defiled by those women, as it says in Revelation. And those women are churches. And so then you're a chaste virgin. You're not being affected by the harlotries, if you will, of those churches. And so covenanting to be his chaste virgin and allowing his truth and righteousness to work in us to cleanse us from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And, of course, he's quoting 2 Corinthians 7:1, that we then become part of his body. Okay, he misplaced a word there, whoever did this. Let me add it in. Part of his bride or church and becomes our Father and we his children. Yeah, so that we then become part of his body, part of his bride or church, and God becomes our Father and we his children. So, you know, what many fail to realize is that the Lord tests us in many different ways, and the easiest way to see if we are in the midst of a test, as well as to see what his will is on any given test, is to open the Bibles, as did the Bereans of old. But because, as also prophesied, most stopped reading their Bibles so as to bow to the convenience of trusting the pastors instead, most have no idea. Their Bibles say this stuff because you have to know their pastors will never tell them. I mean, they're not going to do it for two reasons. Number one, if they're infiltrated, they're in there for Mother Rome. Have you ever read the Jesuit Oath? How it says that, you know, to be a Calvinist, you must act like a Calvinist. To be a Baptist, you must act like a Baptist. Whatever. I mean, it was a list of them. And they were more or less saying you got to infiltrate the churches and teach and preach the way they do so as to keep the people in the church, but then slowly meld in the pagan theology. And so, number one, if they are already infiltrated, the pastor's not going to tell them just point blank because he knows his duty for Mother Rome. Even to the point of killing you. Because that's part of the oath. These Jesuits will and have killed many people. They even talk about using the bullet, using poison, the strangulation cord, whatever the case may be. And then, well, I don't want to say some of the other ones because it's just, there's kids listening. Some of that stuff's graphic. But it's in the oath. The red section on my website, the red section of the oath, actually. Not an easy section to read, I got to tell you. But and then the other toss of the coin is, whether they're infiltrated or not, some of these guys are in it for the money. We all know how they work in these seminaries, if you will. They're in there to, teach them how to make money. It's just like, I couldn't believe it the one time I talked to that one SDA leader when I first came into the Sabbath truth and I was trying to find a church and then I couldn't. And then I was this one guy that used to be, you know, I used to tithe to his ministry too. He says, just make the sermons entertaining. And boy, did that strike me odd. I, of course, stopped tithing to that guy. But I couldn't believe it. I said, entertaining? Preachertainment? Because I used that word long before as well on the street. That was a red flag there. So, as we know, the Jesuit Oath states the following. I did copy a little section out of it here. Okay, actually two paragraphs, a little more than I thought. This is part of the Jesuit Oath. I'm going to read right now. It says, heretofore, you, talking to the Jesuit, this is his leader, you have been taught to act the dissembler. You know, sow discord among brethren, that's your duty. Are you kidding me? Have they even read the Ten Commandments? So anyway, you have been taught to act the dissembler among Roman Catholics, to be a Roman Catholic. Now, this is the part I left put in the video, and I put that little flag on there. It says, look, they even do this to their own people. Because some Roman Catholics start coming into the truth, and the Lord starts leading them out. And like myself, they'll actually come to the Monsignor or pastor, like most people call him, and say, well, what about this, this, this? In my case, the pastor just said, stop reading your Bible. And so I left. but some of them don't. And so they infiltrate even their own churches to prevent them from becoming, you know, another schism, if you will. So to act a dissembler among Roman Catholics, to be a Roman Catholic, and to be a spy, even among your own brethren, to believe no man, to trust no man. And then check out what the rest of it says. Thank you, Brother Sean. He just put it in the room. That's part of the Jesuit oath right there. And then it goes on to say that among the reformers, to be a reformer. Among the Huguenots, to be a Huguenot. Among the Calvinists, to be a Calvinist. Among other Protestants, generally, to be a Protestant. And obtaining their confidence. And you're not going to do that unless you lie on the pulpit. Right? To seek even to preach from their pulpits and to denounce with all the vehemence in your nature our holy religion and the Pope. You know, like Walter Beath does. And a couple of the others. Get up there and slam that Pope left and right. This is a political thing. Everybody seems to think it's religious, but no, it's political. But they're literally taught, the Jesuits are taught to slam their own Pope to make people think, hey, we got a guy in this. Look at Alex Jones. He does the same thing, slam the government when he's actually working for the government. And yes, he is Roman Catholic. That makes people stay on their couch. Otherwise, they're going to go out there and cause a revolution. Well, same thing happens in the church. It'll cause a schism. And so to denounce with all the vehemence in your nature our holy religion and the Pope, and even to descend so low as to become a Jew among the Jews, that you might be enabled to gather together all information for the benefit of your order as a faithful soldier of the Pope. You know, like the Russians. Be an American so you can get dirt on the Americans. And the Americans become Russians, the spies, to get the dirt. Yeah. Satan's been doing this since day one. Like I've been saying on the street since I was a young man, the devil's not going to come up to you as a demon with rotted flesh and maggots all over his body. He's going to come up to you as somebody that you will trust, somebody that's going to be and believe the same way you do. Going on in the oath, it says, you have been taught to insidiously plant the seeds of jealousy and hatred between communities, provinces, states that were at peace, and incite them to deeds of blood. And if you look into the historic records, you'll find every modern-day war was started by the Jesuits because they wouldn't bow, those nations wouldn't bow to the Pope. That's why the wars we have now is because certain Muslim nations, they won't bow to the Pope, like North Korea either. So going on. Involving them in war with each other and to create revolutions and civil wars in countries that were independent and prosperous, cultivating the arts and the sciences and enjoying the blessings of peace. See, this is one of the reasons they're going to get outed. The man of sin's known now. We know what the Bible said. That, students of prophecy, we've known this for decades. But finally, like I said in that video, finally, the common man's starting to realize that, wow. And this is why they pushed really hard in the last few years to try to make everybody think that the Jesuit oath is bogus. It doesn't exist. It's fiction. It was made up. I put the documentation on there long before I had to make sure it was legit. It was actually from the Hall of Congress. This oath was recited in a courtroom. They can't get around that. And so they're doing everything they can to spin this one. Going on, it says to take sides with the combatants and to act secretly with your brother Jesuit, who might be engaged on the other side, but openly opposed to that which you might be connected. Working both ends against the middle, but do it together. But don't let anybody know you're doing it together. Going on, and only that the church might be the gainer in the end. In other words, for Mother Rome, this is all for Mother Rome. In the conditions fixed in the treaties for peace, and the end justifies the means. And that's the same attitude they had at St. Bartholomew's massacre. They said the end justified the means to go after and massacre all those people. And the priest told them before they left, you get this done before sundown and you get here, I'll absolve you of the sin of murder. And they did just that. And to this day, there's a huge painting. It's one of the largest paintings ever made of the St. Bartholomew's massacre. And it's put up in the Vatican. It's hanging on their walls as a show of pride that they won that war, or they went out and they killed 40,000 Protestants in one evening or one afternoon or something like that. But this oath goes on from there, of course, and it gets rather graphic and blood-curdling, to say the least, and don't let those working from Rome confuse you into thinking that this oath has been debunked. Because there's even YouTube videos pushing this. But then the atheists tried the same thing with the virgin birth. And so consider the source. You know, it's just like when I started getting all this information about spirit of prophecy being, you know, cult and plagiarism, witchcraft, whatever. Every single solitary source was from Roman Catholics. And so, I was Roman Catholic, and so I know how they operate. And so, yeah, consider the source. So not only do we have the source before they deleted it, because we know what they've done with the history books, too. I saw that as a teenager. I read history books when I was a little kid. And I praise God for that because it allowed me to see what I saw when I was 16. 15 or 16, I didn't really care much when I was 14. I started really coming into my own when I was 15. And so, I remember the history, the statements, especially when it came to how this nation began and why. And that kind of irked me a little bit reading that because I was Roman Catholic. I was devout. And I didn't like the idea that this nation started because everybody was running from my pope when I was a kid. And then when I got into high school, none of that was mentioned in any of the history books. So yeah, that was where I slept every morning. And so we have the source before they delete it. We have their own actual fruits throughout history confirming that even if they were to somehow make a bunch of people believe that it was bogus, how are you going to get around your own fruits though? You're doing exactly as that oath you say is a lie said for you to do. But my point is, since we know the Jesuits have infiltrated all the religions, and yes, they were able to do this as they had centuries to do it. It's not like they started this last week. We have to know, when you're in a church that you know is in apostasy, and the leaders in the church preach what you expect of them, with one exception, they also add Vatican dogma and confusion into their message, making those in the pews complacent to Babylonian confusion. And if you don't read your Bible and then do as the Word of God says regarding separating from them, then do not blame the Lord Jesus Christ when you are found wanting and therefore declared worthy of the seven last plagues that are very soon in coming. And with that, I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared on the Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.